Now, here's your host, Johnny Radio himself, John Harden.
I thought it is back. What it is. No, I thought it is back. What it is. I gotta go. I don't wanna change, but you're still there laying down. Paint it on. Break it down. Back it up.
Yo, 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 yo! Welcome into a little Sports 56 happy hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It's a beautiful 420, man. The weather absolutely is gorgeous. The smell in the air, for some reason, is just as crisp and wonderful as I've ever smelt. Oh, man, it's like everybody today at the red light and the stop sign smoking, seems like. Oh, what a beautiful day, and I hope everybody had a great weekend. You know, we got a busy, busy show. We're going to talk with, of course, my man, Terry Davis. We got to talk a lot about with TD. Exit interviews. I haven't spoken to TD in a while. Remember, I was out. All this stuff that, you know, was going with the Grizzlies, NBA draft, Tigers, their picks, their whatever you like. He can maybe make me smile. I'm sorry. Like,
you know, tomorrow's the last day for the portal as well.
The portal
to be open.
Yeah.
Or for you to get in the portal, rather.
Get in it. You got to get up in it if you want to get it. I wish you could get in it.
Yeah.
Because that means you'd be making some money. And then, you know what? I'd be driving you around.
No, we have a driver, John.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I even get to sit in the front.
Sure, if you want.
I'm in. I am in. But I had a good weekend.
That means I get to sit in the back.
Oh, you chilling in the back, baby. You going Jessica Tandy now. I love it. I love it. But I had a really good weekend. I hope those who came out to Wingfest had a lot of fun.
And if they didn't, hopefully they saw you on TV.
Oh, yes. And if you didn't, Darian, thank you, Mr. Darian Newsom.
Man, keep that on the low. You know, I ain't
no, I'm just saying. I know you a bad man. I mean, I love seeing
Johnny
Madden
Radio
Field.
Was on the TV all weekend, people. Hopefully you saw.
See Doc Holliday on the desk, and then he had has to see
I think
me.
We have to, if we say Jarvo, our Hall of Famer Jarvo, I think we have to say our Hall of Famer Doc Holliday. He's a Hall of Famer now.
Oh, and by the way, again, outside of putting on the poor barber that day, his social media game is extremely strong. You know that, right? But again, I just felt so bad for that poor barber.
Dude, we gotta get you in the Hall of Fame, John. You got the Memphis on today.
Thanks. I'm gonna try.
Houston Hall of Fame. We gotta get you in something.
Something.
You ain't in the Houston Hall of Fame already.
I don't know if they got that, John. If they didn't, that'd be terrible if I wasn't.
You should be like an inaugural member.
I know. I was going to say, absolutely. I don't think they have it.
We're gonna get with Coach Bennett. We're going to make that happen.
I like that.
Coach Bennett, Landon, Brian Dacus, and John Harden. We're going to make that happen.
I don't think Dacus is going to be on the...
He's just going to be on the panel.
Oh, okay.
To select.
Oh, okay. I am too funny. No, but what isn't funny is yesterday watching certain teams do things that make you realize, like, this is going to be one of definitely not most takes that you've heard.
It's going to be real, make you realize why people are eight seeds, huh?
Yes, but it also what it made me think, expansion is the stupidest thing the NBA can do right now.
They make money.
Okay, listen, that's what I was going to say. So what are you going to do? Make a rich owner who has billions, more billions?
Yeah, it's kind of how this thing works.
You're going to spread more money? But again, the NBA, like I said, and this is very, very important, because playoff basketball is not even close to what we see in the regular season, and it's awesome.
Before you get into what you're going to say, you can still keep awesome playoff basketball with two additional teams. I know what you're thinking.
I don't know, man, because the one thing that scares me is when we watched the tanking that we saw at such a ridiculous pace. I mean, how many teams lost 50 games?
Okay, now, let's go back here.
How many lost 50 games? Was it 11?
They lost 55 or more.
55 or more.
Yeah, right, which is a record.
And we had five teams that lost 60 games or more.
And some of them really weren't tanking, John. They were just slow.
That's why I'm wondering, how do you expand? Because the tops, like watching the Spurs, watching Oklahoma City, watching the damn Boston Celtics. Now,
they're amazing, yo.
Amazing. And, of course, I like those low seeds because, unfortunately, I mean, I didn't like it, but you do have the Miami Heats when Jimmy Butler went off when they had the play-in tournament. Now, all of a sudden, Orlando's up on Detroit after game one. And I'm telling you one thing, when Cade Cunningham goes off the court, Detroit ain't the same team, bro.
We talked about that on 94 Feet of Life.
Like, wow.
Shout out to Big Shot Ron. He's always talked about Detroit needing their third score. Now.
Yes, they do badly.
5-10 years ago, Caris LeVert would have fit that role for them, but he's much older. The injuries have stacked up. He ain't that same cat. Although he's still a high IQ basketball player, he's not the cat for that role anymore. Jaden Ivey probably would have been perfect for that role, but
he's quitting. He's coming a preacher, I believe.
And he was on some other activities and the otherwise. And then ultimately, Danis Jenkins took his job too. So Danis will have to play better, but they just got to be better overall. And Big Shot is right. That is a hole. They do need a third playmaker.
Well, I had a great weekend down at Wing Fest this weekend. I'm telling you, the 24th annual Hot Wing Contest and Festival, giving away, what, $30,000 in prizes, drinking Tito's all damn day long.
All the wings.
The number one spirit in the whole wide world. But you know what the thing is my favorite thing is about Monday is – getting to talk to my buddy Jake Crane. If you haven't been listening to Crane and Company, they are absolutely the freaking best. He's a busy, busy man, and he's got lots of stuff to do. So first and foremost, what's up, Jake?
Man, just out here grinding. You know how it is. How y'all doing on this Monday?
Man, we're blessed, Jake. Man, I got a question for you. I see that you've been running around doing all the spring football, taking care of business over there at On3. Y'all are absolutely killing it. I've been paying a lot of attention, and I know everybody's talking playoff basketball, yada, 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 but I'm going to be doing that all damn week. I want to know what you've learned this spring.
Well, you know, the most interesting thing in spring is always the quarterback battles, right? You know, you look at Alabama right now with Mack and Russell. You look at Tennessee, right, with Faison Brandon and Merklinger. I mean, it's around the country, there's some pretty interesting ones. But, you know, what I always find funny is how people overreact to spring games. You know, you could have one quarterback in a quarterback battle have the best spring up until the spring game, have a bad spring game, and because that's really the only thing anybody sees, they think he sucks, right, when he could actually be the best quarterback. So when the coach runs him out there game one, everybody's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But I do think there's some truly genuine quarterback battles that it's not just coach speak saying, oh, well, we have a battle, we don't know yet. The Alabama one's too close to call, I think. I know everybody wants to say Russell's the guy after the A-Day game. Man, I don't know. From what I'm hearing, it's about as neck and neck as it is. Tennessee, a little bit of the same way. There's a couple others across the country that you know, some people are talking about, but they're not really battles. I think probably the biggest thing that I learned this spring is that Miami's going to be really good up front again. That's one of the things I've learned. But look, at the end of the day,
Mario Cristobal, is he just a dude who's always going to be able to get beef, being a former lineman and everything?
Well, yeah, for sure. That's what he does, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he does. He's a line of scrimmage. He was an offensive lineman. He's a line of scrimmage guy. That's why when you look at Miami, their identity is built up front. And that's typically the way it goes when you have a coach that played that position. But to me, that's the best thing you want, right? Because that can hide everything else. I would much rather be elite at the line of scrimmage than at the skill position. I watched Greg McElroy win a national championship at Alabama because of the things they had running around up front, right? We've seen this happen multiple times.
I mean, that's an absolute fact. Now, when you're absolutely loaded like Alabama was, and now you'll have to look at down at Lane Kiffin down at LSU, this team looks absolutely loaded. What do you expect from Lane, and what did you discover this spring?
Well, look, Sam Leavitt, we knew he wasn't going to play in spring because of the foot. He had the pins taken out of his foot. If Sam Leavitt is healthy enough to be Sam Leavitt, LSU's going to be in the playoffs. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, because I think – when you look at LSU in the past, what have they struggled with? They just haven't been balanced. They haven't played complementary football. You know, with Jaden Daniels, the offense was high-flying, but the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed in the nurse's office. Then you look last year with Nussmeier and some of the years before that. The offense wasn't able to be as consistent as they've been, but the defense had gotten better. You feel like when you spend $40 million on a roster, you ought to be pretty damn balanced at the end of the day. And when you look at how this team is constructed on the line of scrimmage, when you look at how they're constructed at the skill position, Lane Kiffin, you may not like him, he may be a troll, but he knows four things that start with F, and football happens to be one of them.
He is Jake Crane from Crane & Cone. Check him out, man. Follow him at, by the way, Jake. He's J-Boy Crane. It's simple. It's Jake, and I think it's C-R-A-I-N underscore.
Yes. That's spelled like that stupid bird.
Yeah, dude. He ain't no bird, man. But by the way, man, I've got a weird question for you. Texas Longhorns, Texas A&M, Texas Tech. You got billionaires spending buku bucks at Tech. You know what Arch is coming back and Sark and the pressure in the SEC for Texas. And then Mike Elko's quietly just continued to get a little bit better each year. Who's the biggest, baddest in Texas, and who's doing it right?
Okay, I think they're all doing it right. Is the question, who would I take out of those three?
Absolutely.
Okay, if we're talking to make the playoff and be the highest seed out of those three teams in the playoff, I'm going Texas Tech because their schedule is a walk amongst the tulips. Go look at that schedule with the team they have. They are going to be beating teams to death, as opposed to, you know, Texas, who's got to play in the SEC and play Ohio State, and Texas A&M, you know, same thing when you look at it at their schedule. As far as who do I think is the truest national title contender, who would I take of those three teams in the playoff? Give me Texas.
Damn. So Texas and the SEC, LSU, who are you liking right now? I'm kind of getting a little bit of leans from them. I know it's way early, but why not?
Okay, are we saying Sam Leavitt is Sam Leavitt?
Sam Leavitt is going to be healthy. He's young, bones heal. They have great surgeons. Come on now, this ain't the days of when, like, you know, you blew out your ACL and you don't come back.
Yeah, they put him in that magical healing water. I'm going to say, give me Texas still, though. Give me Texas. It's tight, though. It's tight. I think LSU is close to as talented as Texas is across the board. But just knowing you added Cam Coleman to Wingo, then you look at Jermaine, or you look at Burton, Jermaine Bishop Jr., who had a big day in spring as a young guy, Day-Day as well. You know they're deep at running back. They're good up front. Give me Texas, but just by a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if LSU outdid them.
What do you think Alabama football, like, realistically under Kalen DeBorg is going to be like this year? Is this a make-or-break year already for Kalen?
Man, their win total's 8.5, which is weird. That's weird seeing that low of a number next to Alabama. But I get it when, you know, regardless of which quarterback wins the job, they're going to be new. And new quarterbacks go through ups and downs. The question is, will Alabama be able to run the ball? Couldn't run it last year. One of the worst teams in the country.
Crazy.
I didn't think the offensive line looked amazing during A-Day. It's not like they ran the ball really well. They've got, you know, the young back Kroll, who's coming in, the five-star, you know, didn't go through spring. We know Daniel Hill, kind of what he is. I just think this Alabama team, it smells like nine. It smells like nine or eight. And if they win nine and don't make the playoff, which is a possibility, if they win eight and definitely don't make the playoff, I think a lot of it depends on what happens with Auburn.
I was going to say, with Auburn dropping $323 million additions at their stadium, with all the stuff that they've changed,
can we stop adding stuff to the end zone and add players that can get in the end zone? Can we take, like, I would rather you take that $383 million and let's go get some dudes, and then we can build cool things in the end zone. But we got to get to the end zone first.
I love that. I love that. By the way, one other thing, because I know you're busy and you got to get out of here with the quickness. I do want to know, what do you think happens with Indiana now? Kurt Cignetti, he's brought in, you know, he went with Rourke the Bobcats.
Ohio.
And out of the MAC, and then you go and get basically a mid-grade quarterback, I thought, from California, and Lord have mercy. They go and win a national championship. How's now that he is actually like at the top, how does he stay there and how's he doing?
Well, that's why I don't think we know yet. This is the most interesting year of Cignetti at Indiana because that core of guys that you had at JMU that you then took to Indiana to build that culture, they're now gone. So this is the first year. And I know Mendoza was new, but he blended in. He was a perfect fit. Now let's see if that stuck. Because if it stuck, Indiana is here to stay. And we know Hoover's talented. If you now go to Indiana and you become what Indiana's been the last couple of years, they're going to be here a while. But we know with the way guys are in society nowadays, it's never been harder to build and then maintain culture. That's what we're going to find out about Kurt Cignetti. I'd be willing to bet on him, though, that Indiana's here to stay. But I think this is the most fascinating year of Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. I want to see if it stuck.
Like, he got the Hoover kid, didn't he?
Yeah, from TCU.
From TCU. Yep. Okay, I got a question. What do you think about him before I let you go?
Well, I think he's going to be on a team that's actually a little bit more balanced this year offensively, so he's not going to have to try and do as much as he did at TCU, but he's got to limit the turnovers. He's got to understand sometimes, you know, the stock market's not going to be up that day. Just kind of take your lumps and don't force it. If he does that, there's enough talent around him where he's a very, very talented passer of the football.
Yeah, I remember a couple of his games, though. Like, they even beat Houston in a low-scoring game, 17-14, but he had three interceptions in that game. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
But threw for three.
He had to do a lot for them.
He really did. He really did. Jake, you do a lot for me, and you do a lot for everybody. What's coming on the show, Crane and Cone. It's Blaine Crane, it's Jake Crane, and it's David Cone. They're on three, by the way. Check it out. That no three is not them, by the way. I got one day by no three. It was hilarious.
Yeah, he's an imposter. But, yeah, man, go check us out. We've got content dropping today. We're talking a ton of college football. We have our Contender Pretender show coming out Wednesday with David Pollack as well. So hop over on YouTube and check us out.
Man, be blessed, man. I appreciate your time, my brother.
Always, buddy. Appreciate y'all having me.
That is Jake Crane from Crane & Coney. Made to check him out, man.
You got duped by no three.
Dude, remember you? I was on air with you,
That's right. 420, man. You know what it is.
You know, well, I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. It was afternoon, like, you know, after like 12:30, so. And it looks so good. Instead of saying on three, it's no three. You know how I read very, like, quick and just, like, glance, and you see what you think is something.
Those Weird Al Yankovic, content creators, they'll get you.
Dude, I got today by Jasmine Just Do the Dishes.
Just like Weird Al got.
I was like, oh my gosh, Jasmine Just Do the Dishes got her fight expunged for taking acid in the middle of the fight.
Her bike expunged for taking acid. Just think about the headline.
And then I realized it was just about telling the girl to go do the dishes.
It makes no sense.
Because it's like Jasmine... Do the dish or something. So they put Jasmine Just Do the Dishes. It is a beautiful 420. I will tell you that. And I will tell you the air you breathe, it's crazy because I know a lot of people can't even breathe right now. You know what I mean? Like, my sinuses are on fire. In fact, this is not a 420 thing. Like, I need eye drops for my right eye. Like, if anybody loves me, I'm at 6080 Mount Moriah Road Extended. I could use some.
Arm and Hammer really need to holler at me and you.
Yeah, no, because we use that saline more than anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
I tear that stuff up, by the way. But I need, like, eye drops if anybody wants to give me some damn love. But for real, it's hard sometimes to breathe outside. But sometimes the crazy thing is going inside your house, you could be breathing stuff that's even worse for you. You could have all kinds of crazy particles floating throughout your house. And you know my man Stan Mosier, the only licensed mold assessor in the Mid-South? You can reach him by going to MemphisMoldInspector.com. That's MemphisMoldInspector.com. They have free consultations. He is the man, and he's going to make sure that your air gets purified. Because dead gummit, it's already hard enough cutting the grass and then breathing the next day.
Then you got all that pollen flying around outside. Then you got poor air quality some days, too. You got to check the air quality when you check the temperature sometimes.
True.
Especially when it says moderate. Ugh.
And let's also be real, man. What if you're buying a home? Do you want to buy a home, a new home that's already got mold in it? I've always thought to this, man, like, dude, if I'm buying a new home now that I've met Stan, I'm calling him first to make sure I'm not moving into this crib and it's got black mold that's going to be unhealthy for my family.
There you go.
Man, MemphisMoldInspector.com is the place to go. Stan Mosier is the man. MemphisMoldInspector.com. You can even give him a call. It's his company. He does all the work. He is the man. 901-292-7788. That's 901-292-7788. Or just go to MemphisMoldInspector.com. And again, he does everything in Tennessee. Memphis, Germantown, Carrieville, Bartlett. All those places that I do not go. Cordova, Millington, Oakland, Arlington, Mississippi, dude. We're talking Olive Branch, South Haven, Hernando, Coldwater, Corinth, Horn Lake, Iuka. Or is it Iuka? Iuka, I think. Senatobia. I knew a kid named Dano in Senatobia. He used to have BB gun fights all the time. Arkansas. Like, we got you, West Memphis. East Arkansas, Marion, Jonesboro, bro. Remember all the hairdressers? Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to get their hair cut and see a bunch of hot hairdressers, I don't know what it is about Jonesboro. There was an arsenal of hotties that did hair.
And it was how many years ago you were talking
about? I mean,
this
was when I was young, like 20. How old am I?
In Jonesboro, College Town with Arkansas State right there. Mm.
Yeah, but just don't go to a get your hair cut when you dated three of them at the same place. There's a lot of sharp objects.
Well, you just didn't have your pimping all the way tight at that moment.
No, nah, I just screwed up that one.
It's because you didn't have your pimping all the way tight.
But don't screw up your hair. MemphisMoldInspector.com. My man Stan Mosier has you covered. It's great for you. Oh, and if you're having a baby, bro, come on now. If your moms or your grandma, if you have children, or if you care about yourself, because they always say, if you don't love yourself, you can't love somebody else.
That's real.
So I've been loving myself every day since I was about 13 when I first heard that. I'm just kidding. MemphisMoldInspector.com. Tell them that Johnny Radio sent you or Sports 56, and Stan's going to give you a special deal. Back in two shakes with Terry Davis. We got to talk Grizzlies and Tigers.
Plus,
you
got a little
playoffs.
Care Bear stare for you. Speaking of caring, I just had to mention that.
I need a little Care Bear stare because I care. Also, man, we're going to announce some of this stuff. Like, I'll give some of the winners from the Wing Fest
and all
those people and how much fun it was. And if you saw
Jay Ham, don't be modest. You
by the way,
in these
y'all's camera makes me look sexy on Channel 5.
And I will tell you, the peeps love you. Like I said, when we get to that segment about John, I will tell you how America just took you into their heart. You're the new son now.
I feel like.
Prodigal son. Is that what we call it, Jay?
I'm like moving past Justin Timberlake. But he did cry, you know, when that punked.
I mean, but both of y'all are still one notch lower than Dustin Starr's deal.
Oh, facts. It's impossible.
Even my mom.
I don't know.
John's
on the same channel as Dustin Starr now. Like, I don't know.
I've been saying, even my mom.
And it ain't his first time, by the way.
Even my mom said Dustin Starr is cool, and she don't like wrestling.
It's the hair.
That's what that did.
And he also does things for the community. Like, he went out to Madonna Learning Center, and he was the, like, the judge and the MC for their, They're like pageant, or what do you do it? Like when you get all dressed up and do like a little runway,
yeah.
You know, on the runway work. You gotta work it, girl.
You know you don't care for
that. Had a fashion show. He was the MC.
That's thank you. I couldn't think of what it's called.
He was about to break out the RuPaul. Did you hear
it? He was in full RuPaul routine.
Do it. No, not full. I got mine.
No, you was full on that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, be blessed and be back. Have a great 420, but make sure you join us on the other side. It's time to talk with Terry Davis on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Do it, baby.
I'm in love with Mary Jane.
She's my main thing. She makes me feel all right.
want to, like, on 420, shouldn't we be allowed to just, like, have lunch at work? I mean, it's a Monday, but, like, dude, how nice would be a little brunch right now?
In the proper world, it would be proper.
Champagne. And by the way, I wouldn't even have, we wouldn't have actually a brunch. Oh, my gosh, I need to look at the picture. Where's, we would, you know, for the Code's dispensary, you remember that glass tip?
Yeah, yeah.
Long-ass thing that had live rosin resin in it. It had hash. It had 2 grams of, like, small batch boutique flour.
An awfully damn good time is what it was.
And it was the donut holes or something. And then in the middle of it, it had those THC diamond things in it. Mm-hmm. And, man, let me just tell you something. All you have to do is go to Steele, Missouri.
1 hour away.
CodesDispensary.com. You can check out all their products online. Drive straight up to Missouri. It's about 60 miles. You'll be there in 1 hour and 10. Bing, bang, boom. You'll be back. And guess what? You can have a 420. Just like Cheech and Chong or Mary Jane or just like my boys on, oh my gosh, what was Ice's, Clark, no, Craig, Craig, I said Clark.
Craig was the one that wasn't trying to smoke.
I know.
We actually got something coming up. But in the meantime, would you like to hear yourself? I actually have Johnny Harden from this week's Wing Fest queued up, people.
Get out of town. Not hear.
Want me to give it to you?
Let's do it.
Almost 40 teams went head-to-head for the title of Best Wings, all to support Ronald McDonald House and St. Jude. We spoke to Sports 56 John Harden, who hosted the event, and he says this event is all about Memphians uniting for their passion for wings and raising funds for some worthy causes.
The more Memphians get together, the stronger Memphis is, man. Like, we gotta come out here and do these kinds of events because we all find out that we got everything in common. We all like to have fun. We all like to eat wings. We all love Memphis. So this is, like, community. Like, nobody can raise anybody by yourself. It takes a community. Dude, where, and you can definitely tell that I was knee deep in that Tito's, buddy.
But it was well done, Jonathan.
Thank you. And I know I did a little shimmy, man,
you
right?
Like, you was like on
your it was the shimmy heard across the world.
You was like on your 4 cranberry Tito's, though.
That's yeah, mine right. Were all doubles, though. With no ice. It was no too cold.
Hey, but the people at the stage, they loved your message, John. That was the bigger piece I wanted to
tell you. Yeah, it was great because it's just the truth. Memphis,
we all love to party and we all love wings.
And we also love to help people because, like, I don't people, like, it drives me crazy when people crap on Memphis. And I'm like, do you know where St. Jude is?
Right.
Do you know, like, think about this. Like, this is the city. Yeah, this is the city, like, that has St. Jude, bro.
There you go.
Don't be stepping on us.
You think Terry D saw you on TV this weekend, or was he too busy?
Man, Terry Davis is a very, very busy man. What up, TD? How's life treating you?
Man, life is great, my brother. You doing well?
I am very, very well. It's a beautiful 420. I wish I was having brunch right now. I think it should be like a national holiday for, like, you have to go to work. No big deal. You can go to work. But brunch would be like the coolest thing one day a week where you just let people like smoke a big old.
You want a relaxed environment.
Yeah, I just want everybody chilling. Mary Jane.
You know, you can move your show to Colorado and get that.
Yeah, but I will. I like Memphis, bro.
You can have the best of both worlds. You can still love Memphis and have 420 in Colorado.
I go to Colorado a lot, though, and I love going there. But living there would be a different type of animal because, you know, they're, like, really, like, different? Woodsy. Like,
yes,
hands-on. Like, you got to chop wood and, like, get snow out, and you're in the damn mountains and stuff. Like, ish goes wrong. I ain't the dude that ish needs to go wrong to. Like, there's certain things that people are built for. I'm built more for Memphis.
I feel you.
Now, I got to tell you, what is this Memphis football team? You've gone through a little bit of spring football. I don't know what you're learning. I don't know how much contact you're getting and how much Kranz is giving you. I'm just kind of curious, what are you feeling right now with them little Memphis football in the post-Silverfield era?
You know, we get the same access that we did under the other coach. Yeah, basically you get 15 minutes of practice.
That's terrible.
You know, coach.
Come on,
yeah,
Huff.
Coach talks to you every day, and, you know, he gives you a lot of coach speak. But one thing about it, people who have been to practice that I have talked to, they are lacking what they see, because what we don't know is who's going to be the quarterback, but we have a good idea who the quarterback's going to be. But they've seen them practice, and they've seen them do some stuff. And the people that go, you know, and these people I trust. So if they say it's going to be pretty good, I kind of believe them.
When you say pretty good, what would you compare, like, in past Tigers? You can go the Silverfield era. You can go Norvell. You can go with Fuente. I don't care. Like, which, like, these two guys that are competing, who do they compare to?
They really don't compare to anybody, because both of them are two different types of quarterbacks. You know, I think Mason, who I think, but I don't know, I think he is going to be a pro-style quarterback. And Earhart, you know, he has an arm, but he's just not consistent. But I think he's going to be between a Brady and a Riley type player.
It's kind of wild, because didn't, like, the Stokes guy, like, was in D2, right?
Yes, but as a 4-star, highly regarded quarterback.
Yeah, and he was on the, like, whatever. What's the D2 Heisman finalist thing called? Damn it.
Hey, I don't barely know the D1 quarterback.
Yeah, Jalen. But, no, he was, I think, one of the finalists last year, if I remember correctly. And then, again, you know, 4-star Air Noland, as you say, spent time at Ohio State, South Carolina, behind two quarter. Like, dude, he went starting at Ohio State, and then he goes down to South Carolina, where they got one of the most athletic freaks in the country.
They call it the Harlan Hill Trophy.
The Harlan Hill, thank you. He was a finalist last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. But, you know, one thing, one solace to him is just right down the road at Ole Miss with Chambliss.
Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, Trinidad Chambliss pretty much did the same road. He went from D2 national
Ferris
championship.
State, yeah.
Right, and then he proved that he could play on that level. Sometimes a person needs the opportunity. With this guy, it wasn't because he couldn't play. It's because of his baggage. That's the only reason he went to D2, because of his baggage. And now that he has some...
You know, a lot of people compared... I did have somebody say he's Johnny Manziel style, running ability, throwing ability, continues to like, you know, extend plays, make crazy things happen. And then they also said he's probably, you know, not Johnny Manziel off the field, but has baggage.
But I'm forget, that's on the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to an upper level, the things you did at the lower level, you may not be able to do and get away with.
What is
all that running around and all that? So,
what is Charles Huff value when he looks at a quarterback? Because I really don't know. I didn't pay much attention at Southern Miss or anything like that. I mean, what do you think he's? What does he value?
Professionalism, okay. Ability to understand the playbook.
I know he ain't playing no music out there.
Yeah, but you know, after a while, you know. You get used to it, man. It's just like being Vietnam, man. You just adjusted your environment, man, and go from there.
So who do you think?
At the end of the day, it's about making plays and executing what's been called.
Well, my question is like, also then Charles Huff has to look at the strength of his team.
Yeah.
Like, is this going to be a team that's going to go out there and throw the ball all over the joint? Is this going to be a team? I mean, do they have good wide receivers? Is it a going to be a more run-heavy team? Like, what do you think Charles is going to try to implement with this offense? I mean, I have no clue.
His philosophy is really having a big offensive line, having a big defensive line. So he's going to be first and foremost, run the ball to pass the ball. He's going to try to establish a run game first, and then he's going to try to go with the receiver. And with everything, it goes to chemistry with wide receivers and quarterbacks. This is the first year that these guys are playing with either one of these quarterbacks, even the guys who came up from Southern Miss and Marshall with him. They got to develop that chemistry. I asked one of the wide receivers this weekend, you know, with wide receiver mentality is you throw the ball and catch the ball, but it's not that easy. You still got to know how to catch. You got to learn when to break off, when the quarterback's in trouble. They got to learn that little stuff. And once they learn that, they can do that. Because if Memphis didn't have Broham last year with the receivers, we don't know how the team would have been.
True that. The other thing is, though, is how much money is this? Like, do you think, like, what kind of budget is Memphis working with?
They're working with a group of five budget. You know, it's going to be under $10 million. Under $15 million for everybody. But at the end of the day, it's all about, it's not how much money you pay the guys. It's how much talent you got and how much chemistry you can develop. Because unlike last year, the transfer portal was pretty much done in January. So what you got is what you got. Only thing going to change now is graduate transfers. So you don't have to have a worry about losing half your team in the summertime. You know, so what you got now is what you're going to have in the fall.
It looks crazy to me because it keeps going up. And the have-nots keep going down. When I look at LSU, spent over $40 million on their roster this year. And I'm like, whoa. Like, wow. 40-plus mil just on their football roster. And then I look over at Memphis, and I'm like, how is it, though, that it's ever going to compete? And especially being in the American, it's really not, is it?
You can't compete because when you do develop somebody, you know, the Power Five is going to come pluck them away. If you got a good offensive lineman, they're going to go pluck them away. But you're paying them $500,000, and they're going to pay them $2.5 million. You know, you can't compete with that. You just can't compete with that.
You really can't. It's just that.
And like I said, I think there needs to be some mechanisms in place that if a smaller school develops that player, they should be compensated almost like a transport portal type stuff like they do in Premier League, where, you know, you pay a transfer fee for a person to take off your roster.
Well, before we take a baby timeout real quick, is there anything that Penny has added to the team that even gives you a reason to believe that they're going to be good next year?
I like that young shooter he got from Broadcrest, you know, in addition to what
Fred
he got
Smith.
With Fred. No, the shooter.
The kid on his team.
Right. The shooter he got from Broadcrest. I like that because that if he can shoot at that level, it gives Penny a big ahead. Only thing he had to do is make sure his point guard come in. And I think he's slowly getting the pieces together. I still think he needs a rim. I like Fred as a four, but if he gets a quality rim, then I'm going to really be hounding this team coming up next year.
You're going to be hounding or howling?
Highly on this team next year. Very high on this team. And not.
It's 420, John.
It's 420. I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to get him to say hi. I'm going to be high.
Yeah, we clipped that part. We got you.
I got Terry Davis saying I'm going to be high. Very slow. I'm like, damn, this is great. Blackmail. I love it. I'm going to take a quick time out, though. But
drug test me, baby. Drug test me.
Yeah, I know. You're good. You're good. You're very good. You always say no to me. That is the truth. These are facts. But follow Terry at TerryD515 on Twitter. Always read his stuff with the new Tri-State Defender. He's always on TV, everywhere, and their grandmother. He loves life, and he's a true Memphian. On the other side, though, guess what we're going to talk, TD?
Basketball!
NBA style. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Oh, sugar, when you're close to me, you love me right down to my knees.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. I hope everybody's having a beautiful 420. Got to tell you all a lot about some basketball, though, because I got Terry Davis, and he knows hoops. He's been doing hoops Probably as long as a historian, man.
I would say longer.
TD, older? Boy, TD looking good.
TD is OG. He just looked good, man.
Yeah, man.
And he was on TV over the weekend, too, John.
Yeah, TD, I see him all the time. What are you talking about? Also, yeah, hear him asking questions that get people in trouble.
He was sitting down on a couch talking good stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ask him
Terry, tell me about that.
Oh, nothing to talk about, man. You know, my guy, 24, Richard, wanted me to come over and talk a little sports on 24. So we went over there to talk about Tigers, Grizzlies, and more.
Sweet.
So both of y'all were on the TV this weekend.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. TD, Terry Davis. Now, TD, I got a question for you. I've been watching the NBA for a long, long time. We kind of started in the first segment, and then we got sidetracked because it's 420, and, of course, my ADHD is off the charts. I am impressed. Like, congratulations, Magic. We saw it with the Heat years ago. You know, an 8 seed go up there and, you know, do a little bit of damage. Congrats. But what I'm trying to say here is, outside of that, like, that Spurs Trailblazers game, that's embarrassingly ugly. That Thunder.
But it was fun to watch, though. It was fun to watch
because Wimby's a freak.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the entertainment value. You know, unlike the other game that got with a 40-point blowout earlier, you know, that game was
the Suns and the Thunder was
ugly. You
have
to watch Wimby.
Yeah, Wimby was awesome.
What's going to do?
Yeah, that
and
was.
The dunks alone, there was so many high-level dunks in that game. It was crazy.
Then they also, like, the Celtics, bro. Like, Jason Tatum says he's still rehabbing.
They are scary.
And he had 25, 11, and 7?
And with ease.
And you know, and people didn't want him to come back this year, right, man. But yes, just like come, you have to come back because there's no telling when they will close for you.
And he did his work. He was prepared. He knew from the moment that thing snapped, he got surgery on it the very next day. Didn't wait around. Didn't wait a week. He was like, "I'm determined to get back ASAP," and he made it happen. And he looked like himself. You know, what more can we say about that? It would be a much more fun deal if, you know, we had a healthy Joel Embiid. They still wouldn't win that series.
No.
Joel being there would make that thing fun, a little more fun.
Is right now Boston your favorite to come out the East?
They mind.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
They mind, too.
I mean, they got the little kid that comes off the bench, instant offense, Peyton Pritchard. You got big freaking Jaylen Brown, as long as he ain't, you know, putting.
Joe Mazzulla finds white dudes that he maxes out with Peyton Pritchard, with Baylor Shearman.
Vucevic.
He did it with Luke Cornett. You know, when he had Luke Cornett.
Nikola Vucevic.
Vucevic should go get you 20 and 10 on night.
He's the glue on that bitch.
For real. Yeah.
And then also, man, like, let's not forget, like, for some reason, Derek White still considered.
Oh, Derek White, they do.
I know, but, like, everybody says it's Tatum and Brown and Tatum and Brown and Tatum and Brown.
He's the one that slept on.
Derek White gets slept on, and then, like, you sleep on him, and then, boom, three-pointer.
You gotta remember, over in Paris a couple of years ago, he was
Tatum, and he was very upset.
But they had him on the floor for those right reasons. He defends. He shares the basketball. Knocks down open shots. He can shoot the hell out of basketball, you know, so it's just great players, man. And Joe Max is out. Joe is the best coach remaining in the playoffs, I think. What you think about that, TD?
You
know, I like Joe, but he has. It's almost like a Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Joe ain't never gonna get the credit because he has two of the best players in the game,
right?
But he is an excellent coach. But he don't take no credit for it.
No, he's not.
If my man couldn't, like, if my man wasn't cheating on Nia Long, though, like, would we even know Joe?
He better than MA.
Now, you still know, Joe. You still would know.
Yeah, he better than MA.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. MA is like, I got to say one thing. MA like Bill Clinton, horny.
And his horniness caused him to make bad decisions. Now he in Houston with no point guard and down to the Lakers 1-0.
True that. Yeah.
But you know what? They might not be without a point guard for long, if you know what I mean.
No, like, you really believe some of that?
Man, you know what, man?
There's so much smoke around him.
Okay, the management of the Grizzlies are going to do something stupid. Because they have proven that they don't want Ja Morant.
Yep.
So if Houston offered them anything worthwhile, and you put Ja with KD, It's crazy. Oh. But I don't want Ja to go because Ja value is still with the city. He loves the city.
Yeah.
He just don't like the
but
way
the thing is every single other owner, since they actually see each other and Robert Pair is running around doing God knows what, dressing like Luke Skywalker, trying to play dudes in basketball in third world countries, selling arms. That moron, Robert, he's a billionaire. Hopefully he never listens to this because I don't want a billionaire on my ass.
I know you don't.
No, I don't.
Join us in studio.
I mean, I'll talk to him anytime. I mean, but it'll be the first time he's been seen in, what, 6 years?
No, he was here last year. I saw him in the suite with my own naked eyes.
Did you really?
Yes, I really.
His Wi-Fi was messed up, too.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you have Ubiquiti, you're a communications company, and you can't even get Wi-Fi. You have to go outside where everybody's smoking heaters.
Yeah, but back to Ja, I think, you know, I know they're going to make a decision. They're going to trade him over the summer. I know they're going to trade him. They don't want you to trade him because what they did for the...
My point was, though, that every owner is going to sit around and say, hey, listen, offer him the bare minimum. Screw him.
Right, right. Because they know you're going to get right. We'll give you a second in. We'll take up. We'll give you $2 million to get him off your books. You know, something stupid. You know. But it's going to be something stupid. He's not going to go for what Desmond Bain went for, which is a great trade because everybody forgets Cedric Carr wouldn't be here one for Desmond Bain trade, even though I still would rather have. I love Cedric, but I still would rather have Desmond.
Yeah. Completely agree with that.
Yeah. But to the playoffs not going to start until somebody loses home. And the best series so far is going to be the Orlando Magic series, that 8-1. And that's how come I say you always should try to go to the playoffs because you never know what may happen in the playoffs. If you may get a player may get injured and make and open up your path to go to advance. And once you win one series, it's anybody's game. But all these guys are good.
This is true. And Orlando really playing better. Playing like how people think, you know, really expected them to play now.
They're big as hell, I'll tell you that much.
And if you had a situation where Wendell Carter outduels Jalen Duren, game one, the five and
dude, that Piston team sucks without Cade on the court.
And they got to find somebody that can create offense for him outside of Dennis Jenkins.
Jay Ham, look, quickly, I thought it was very telling that Bickerstaff in his postgame said that they have to get up to NBA speed. Almost saying that the play-ins are helping Orlando because they play
please,
previous games.
Man. I don't even want to hear that.
Because
I don't
talk about
that.
Rhythm and whatnot, but they ain't bad. You can have that.
How
happen.
Many other play-in teams won?
You can have that happen without the play-in, though. That team that come in and just drop game one.
Just Orlando.
One seed, two seed, they come in and drop game one. I was watching the clip the other day, the one where when Marbury was with the Suns and he hit the running three at the buzz on the Spurs. And the Spurs were the one seed. That was game one. You know, they didn't win nothing else after that. But
Detroit lost that game in the very, very, very damn beginning.
In the beginning, yeah.
I mean, like the first, 3 minutes, I look up and it's 10-point. They're down 10, 18-8.
They never got a lead.
Just getting dominated.
And when they get to one, the Magic will hold them out at arm's length. They never resent, you know, gave up the lead or none of that.
Now, Cade, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, he fought his little ass off to keep him in it. But, dude, when he's got to go for 39 and do everything and then.
You want 25.
In that fourth quarter,
six, Cade.
Did you notice how them shots were coming up unless he was getting to the rack or coming up short?
Yeah, legs was dying.
Yeah, he didn't have legs left.
We also talking about a dude that's coming off a collapse.
And Tobias Harris, you know, come on, bro.
He had 17. I blame Duren, John.
No, Tobias gave you what Tobias did. At all, bro. Four shots
to Jalen Duren? Uh-uh. Yeah.
No, Jalen was terrible. I just don't like talking bad about him.
And the other one, Suggs. I think Suggs helped that Detroit loss a lot. Jalen Suggs was balling.
Was awesome yesterday. That's for
sure. And don't forget the guys. These are these guys' first playoff game.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's their first game. Now they come back home.
I mean, but Hans and Franz and Wendell and Desmond Bain and Suggs and Vaccaro, every one of their starters got off.
Hit him in the mouth and Anthony Black was doing Anthony Black activity.
I'm just saying, is there a chance that Orlando comes out?
There's a chance, but I don't think – I think Detroit –
nah, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I think Detroit will get it, but Orlando can make a fight out of it, and we know Styles make fights.
The people that are enjoying Detroit 420 love when you say Hans and Franz.
Hans and Franz.
The Pistons have lost 11 straight home playoff games, though. That's going
damn.
Back, that's going back to 2008 when Chauncey and Rip and Sheed and Ben and Tayshaun were still there.
Last but not least, I only got a minute and 30 seconds, TD. Grizzlies draft when it comes around. What is our what is the wish list of the front office? Have you figured that one out yet?
A point guard and a big man who can rebound. Because you got to get somebody to back up Zach Eady because he ain't been consistent. And you don't have nobody who can consistently rebound. So you got to get somebody who can rebound.
Man, you get Zach Eady been injured. Always since we got him.
Always and forever.
Why are you driving a little bitty baby car, and how do you hurt your elbow when you're like got a bad foot? Maybe you're spending too much time on the free sites. Terry, thank you so much for everything you do. I hope you have a wonderful right, man. Day, man. Be blessed.
Have a good one. That's, all right, have a good one.
That's my man, Terry Davis.
Yes, got to get Zach Eady behind a paywall.
I mean, yes, because, man, he'd be like, man, see, he's so cheap, dude. He could be paying part of Shannon Sharpe's lawsuit.
I wasn't ready for that one, John.
Hey, do me a favor. Y'all come back, man. You think hour one was good. Wait for hour two. Listen to us and all kinds of wood and NBA playoffs and a little MLB. On Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.